Thank you very much, Simon, for reading for us. Please do keep your Bible open in front of you, page 979, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to verse 24. I'm going to pray for us today before we start and ask for the Lord's help as we get into this bit of the Bible. So let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you speak. Thank you that you have spoken through the Lord Jesus. Thank you that you've spoken through the word, the Bible, this passage that we're holding open now. And we pray that you would speak to us again. Would you lift our eyes to see the Lord Jesus by your Holy Spirit? And would you help us to hear what you are saying to us this evening? Amen. Well, the Christian married couple turned their bedside lights off at the end of the day. They've tried their hardest, but they can't stop arguing. The single Christian person comes home after work. They long to be married, but God still hasn't answered that prayer. Another Christian has been treated badly again for their faith, and they're longing for things to improve. Another Christian feels awful. They've given in to that sin again. They can't seem to break the habit. Another Christian, again, has just received that unexpected and terrible medical diagnosis. Where's God at the moment? If the Christian faith is as good as we've seen in Ephesians, why is it so hard to be a Christian? If the Christian faith is as good as we've seen, why is it so difficult? Well, that's what the Holy Spirit, through Paul, gets into in this last bit of Ephesians. This evening, we're going to see that he brings together different things that we've seen earlier on in Ephesians. And we're going to see that he sends us off out into the world with clarity, with encouragement, and with the things that we need to keep on going with the Lord when following him is difficult. So the first thing that Paul says to us, that the Spirit says to us this evening, is down there in verses 10 to 12 of chapter 6, page 979. The first thing that he says is, be strong in the Lord's strength. Well, why is it all so difficult? Well, the answer, Paul says, is partly because of the opposition. I'm assuming most of you guys know the movie, The Wizard of Oz. Dorothy is stuck in this magical land of Oz. She's trapped there, though, and she's trying to get back home to Kansas. She journeys to find the Wizard of Oz, who lives in a magical city called the Emerald City, to ask for his help to get back home to Kansas. But when Dorothy gets there with her friends, to her surprise, she finds out that the Wizard of Oz is not some magical wizard, but he's an old man standing behind a curtain, pulling levers and pressing buttons and speaking into a microphone. He's not a magician. He's not a wizard. He's a normal person. I think we tend to fall into a similar mistake. We don't look at who's behind the curtain. When things are difficult in our lives, we fall into the mistake of thinking that it's just us, just us. But the Holy Spirit pulls back the curtain in verse 12. Have a look down there at verse 12 and see what the Holy Spirit says. But we do not wrestle, this is verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Behind the curtain is Satan. He's meddling, he's scheming, he's trying with all of his might to thwart what the Lord is doing in this world, in this church, and in our lives. That's not to say that there aren't other things going on as well in the world, but behind them all lies the spiritual forces of evil. That's what Paul's saying here. We've seen that so far in Ephesians, haven't we? Chapter 2, verse 2, we were children of disobedience following Satan. We saw as the story went on that wonderfully we've been rescued from Satan, but he is still seeking a foothold in our lives, chapter 4, verse 27. Satan's still seeking to destroy through anger, through temptation, through stealing, through unwholesome talk, through everything that's part of our old lives. But here's the wonderful news. The wonderful news is that the Lord Jesus has won. Satan has lost any authority he had. Chapter 1, verse 19 to 20. Jesus is now seated on a throne high above every ruler, every authority, every power and dominion. Jesus is seated on a throne that's higher than Satan. Satan's lost any authority that he had. Jesus has won. Not only that, Satan has lost the argument. Chapter 2 and chapter 3 showed us that in the church, God has reconciled different groups of people together. And through the church, God is displaying his wisdom to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Satan has lost the argument. Jesus has won. And not only that, Satan has lost his power. Colossians, which is the sister letter to Ephesians, Colossians 2 verse 15 says that Jesus has disarmed Satan's powers and authorities. He's triumphed over them at the cross. Satan has lost his power. Jesus has won. And wonderfully, because of all of that, Satan has lost us. We saw that back in chapter 2, verses 1 to 2, that we were once following him. But because of the Lord Jesus's rich mercy and great love, Christ won us back. Satan has lost. Jesus has won. Now, if you want any proof of that, turn around, look around. We are proof of this. The church is proof that this has happened. But if we're honest, church is hard. We can be honest about that here. Church is sometimes hard. Our Christian life is hard. Our Christian witness and walk is hard. So even though he's lost, Satan is still looking for that foothold. And so the Spirit tells us, Ephesians 6 verse 10, have a look down there, top of page 979. The Spirit tells us, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Did you spot that he said, in the Lord? If that's the opposition, then our own strength, our cleverness, our efforts are not going to be enough by themselves. We need something more if we're going to stand firm. We need the Lord's strength. We've already seen Paul's prayer for strength back in chapter 3, verse 16. He prayed there that we'd be strengthened with power through the Spirit in our inner beings so that Christ might dwell in us and that we might comprehend, that we might know the overwhelming scale of Christ's love that surpasses all knowledge. That's what this strength is for. It's strength to be who we are, rooted and grounded in Jesus's wonderful love. It's strength to be church. It's strength to be a kaleidoscope kingdom whom Christ dwells in. It's strength to keep on being what we already are in the face of all of Satan's schemes to peel us away from the Lord. But have a look down at verse 20 of chapter 6. Do you see it down there, verse 20? This is not a strength that will necessarily change our circumstances. Do you see that down there? Paul says that he's an ambassador in chains. Paul's a prisoner. And that hasn't yet changed. But he is able to stand firm there. He's able to stand against the schemes of the devil. The lock on his chains hasn't opened, but his mouth has. He's able to declare the gospel. He's able to say that he's doing encouragingly well, even though he's locked up. Well, the second thing that Paul says to us is that we should stand firm in the whole armor of God. When we think that there's a battle on, I think that we might tend to think that it would be easy just to stay at home. Easy to stay at home, to watch Netflix or whatever it is you want to watch, far away from the front lines. The front lines, we tend to think, are about 1,000 miles that way, so we're safe here. But the front lines of this cosmic battle are not somewhere thousands of miles that way. The front line cuts through every workplace. It cuts through our schools, our unis, our homes. It cuts through our church. It cuts through each of our hearts. That's what we see each and every day when it feels easier just to give up, when it feels easier to go with the flow rather than obeying Jesus. Temptations, trials, persecution, that's the front line coming into your life. That's Satan trying to pull you away. So verse 11, have a look down there. The Spirit says to us, put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. This isn't about winning a war. Jesus has wonderfully, he's already won. Satan has already been defeated. No, this armor of God is about how we stand. It's about how we stand firm. It's about how we withstand. It's about how we endure in this race that we're on. It's how we continue to be all those things that we've seen so far in Ephesians that the Lord Jesus has already made us to be. So as we put on this armor, we're being what we already are. We're putting on something that we already have. So with that in mind, let's go in there and let's have a look at these different bits of armor. So do keep your Bible open and have a look down there at verse 14. The first piece of armor, the first way that we stand firm. Do you see it down there? Verse 14. The first way we stand firm is by fastening on the belt of truth. Now, the soldier would have worn this belt under his armor, and it would have been fastened really securely so that he's ready for battle. That's what it is. But it's when we look in the Bible that we really start to understand what's going on. So back in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 5, the Greek translation of that verse that Paul would have been using, we read that, listen to this, truth will be the Messiah's belt. You see, this belt of truth is not just from God. This is a belt of truth that belongs to God. This is a belt of truth that Jesus himself has worn. And we've seen that already in Ephesians 4:21. The truth is in Jesus. Jesus is truth. Famously, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We've seen it as well, that chapter 1, verse 13, it's when we heard that word of truth about Jesus, the gospel of our salvation, that we were saved. So we already have this belt of truth. Be what you already are. Rest in what you already have. As we were thinking earlier, the battle is against Satan. And the Lord Jesus describes Satan as the father of lies. That's John 8:44. Satan has been lying ever since the beginning. He's been trying to distract God's people and lead us astray with lies and half-truths. Things like, did God really say that? Does God really want your best? Wouldn't it just be better for you if you did something else? No, the Spirit says, in the face of Satan's lies, put on the belt of truth. The Spirit says, rest in that word of truth. Hold firm to that gospel of truth. But more than that, be people of truth. Not speaking falsehoods to each other, but being truthful and honest to each other. Speaking the truth in love. So how do we stand firm and be what we are? Well, the first thing we do is we fasten on the belt of truth. The second way we stand firm is by putting on the second piece of armor. It's down there in verse 14 as well. Do have a look down. It's putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, that breastplate was a piece of armor which would cover the chest, the soldier's chest, to protect him from being hit there by a sword or an arrow, protects his chest. But again, it's when we read the Bible that we actually start to understand really what's going on there. Isaiah 59 verse 17 says that the Lord comes down to rescue his people and to judge his enemies. And listen to this. He put on righteousness as a breastplate. Again, this is armor that belongs to the Lord. It's not just from him. It belongs to him. And it's armor that he's worn. It's his righteousness that protects us. We've seen that already in Ephesians 2, haven't we? We once were dead in our trespasses and sins, but Christ made us alive, not because of any good thing we've done, but because of his wonderful grace. As Paul puts it in other letters, we've been clothed in Christ's righteousness. We've swapped our dirty rags for his perfect righteous clothing, his breastplate of righteousness. Christ's own breastplate of righteousness. We put it on. And having put that breastplate of righteousness on, we saw back in chapter 4, we're also to put off our old self, our old way of life, and we're to put on our new self, which has already been created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Satan, the opposition, wants to tempt and distract and discourage you. Satan loves telling you you're not good enough. Satan loves telling you that you've failed, you've let down the side. But the wonderful Lord Jesus, who gives us his breastplate of righteousness, says in Ephesians 5:2, I gave myself for you. I gave myself for you as a fragrant offering, a sacrifice for your sins. He did that out of love for us. Wonderful, sweet love. And we respond by walking in the same love towards others, living a righteous life of love towards others. The third way we stand for the third piece of armor, verse 15 says this: as shoes for your feet, put on the readiness given by peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Because of our wonderful Lord Jesus, we have peace. Jesus is our peace. He's our Prince of Peace. We have peace with God because of him. That's the good news of happiness. But more than that, look around the room. We have peace with each other because our God reigns, because our Prince of Peace reigns. Our churches are kaleidoscope kingdoms of peace. Now, Satan, again, the opposition. Satan loves nothing more than causing disunity and distrust amongst Christians. He loves doing it. He wants you to look around. He wants you to look around and see that people around you are different. Satan wants you to see those differences, and he wants you to distrust other people. He wants you to pull away from other people. He wants you, well, we're not going to have coffee now, but he wants you afterwards to walk away from people that are different to you. But our wonderful Lord Jesus, he reigns. He's our Prince of Peace, and he reigns. At the cross, he put us first. He put each and every one of us first. And so as brothers and sisters, we put each other first. We put each other first ahead of ourselves. And so that's what these shoes are all about. These shoes aren't made for walking all over you, as the song goes. These shoes are made so that you might be ready to walk not over each other, but over to each other, that we might be kind to one another, that we might be tender-hearted, that we might be forgiving towards each other, that we might speak the glorious news of happiness to each other, that the Lord Jesus, our Prince of Peace, reigns. That's what the shoes of peace are for. The next way that we stand firm, the next piece of armor, is down there in verse 16. Do have a look down there at verse 16. It's the shield of faith. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Now, this shield was large. It was door-shaped and it was door-sized, and it was for covering the soldier completely. It would protect them from whatever flaming arrows were kind of raining down on them. And it protects us. The shield of faith protects us from all the flaming darts of the evil one. That's what Satan's throwing our way. He's already thrown many darts at us our way today. Every temptation you faced, every time you've been tempted to disbelieve something about God, every persecution, every hardship for being a Christian, every piece of false teaching, those are the arrows that Satan's throwing down on us. He's trying to beat us back. He's trying to beat us down, and he's trying to keep our eyes off the Lord Jesus. But here's the wonderful thing. Here's the really wonderful thing. Even though our commitment to the Lord wavers, our faith goes up and down, the Lord's commitment to us never changes. He blessed you with every spiritual blessing. He chose you before the foundation of the world. He adopted you. He's been faithful to each and every one of his promises to you. He's been faithful to us. Because of his rich mercy, out of his great love, he made you alive together with Christ. He even gave you the gift of faith that you might trust in him, in his goodness and his faithfulness. We're saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus. We're saved by his faithfulness. So we take up our shield of faith. We turn to him. We rest in him. We trust in his faithfulness. We stand firm by taking up our shield of faith. The next way that we stand firm is down there in verse 17. Do have a look down there. The next way we stand firm is by taking up the helmet of salvation. This piece of armor would have been bronze, and it would have protected the soldier's head from being hit on the head. And again, it's come straight from Isaiah. Isaiah 59 verse 17 says, "The Lord, the Messiah, the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ, told of in advance, he steps down to save and judge, and he's wearing a helmet of salvation on his head." You see, friends, Jesus has already completed the rescue, and salvation has already been given to you. Satan loves to tell us that we're not good enough, that we need to do more, that others around us are doing better. But Ephesians 2:4 says this, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you've been saved." So we turn to him, we rest in him, we trust in him, we stand firm by being what we already are. We take up the helmet of salvation. So we come now to the final way to stand firm, the final piece of the armor of God, which is down there in verse 17. Do have a look down there. Verse 17, take up the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. This is the only weapon here listed that you can use to attack. It's about taking up the fight, not just defending. It's about taking the fight to Satan. It's the word of God. It's the Bibles that we've got open in our hands. It's when, verse 13 of chapter 1, when we heard this word of truth, that we were saved and made alive. Chapter 2, verse 20 is when we heard this word of God, the teachings of Christ, the apostles and the prophets, that the church was built. And it's this word of God that builds up the church. We've got this in our hands. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? We've got it in our hands, in our language. Wielded by the Spirit, this book has saved us. It has grown us to where we are. But look, this isn't a sword to strike others with. This is a sword to fight Satan with. Satan loves to tell you that the Bible isn't enough. He loves to tell you that it's boring, that it needs adding to, it's dangerous, it needs changing, it's out of date, it's hateful, it's dangerous. But the Lord Jesus, who's the lover of our souls, that's where he's coming from. The Lord Jesus tells us that humanity does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And this is not gruel. It's not gruel, okay? Psalm 19, the Lord tells us there that this bread is sweeter than the sweetest honey. It's more precious than most precious treasure. When Satan tempts us, is this book and the Lord Jesus, whose words these are, that will protect us? Because his words are sweeter and more delightful and more precious than anything else that Satan and the world can offer. Can I say to you this evening that means that coming to church and hearing God's word proclaimed here is the single most important event that happens during your week. The single most important event that happens. It's here that we hear the words of the lover of our souls. It's here that we hear the kind words of mercy and love and grace. It's here that we hear words that nourish us. Stand firm by being what you are. Take up your sword of the Spirit. Thirdly, and very, very briefly, we stand firm by putting on the armor of God. We stand firm by putting on Christ himself. He is our armor. And we do it with a prayerful attitude. Prayer is essential because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Our opposition is spiritual, so we need spiritual help. Our strength is in the Lord. Continual opposition needs continual prayer. So I think it's appropriate that we finish this talk, and I think we finish this series by spending some time praying. I reckon we can take a couple of moments, a couple of minutes, either to pray individually, or if you'd like, with the people around you. Let's pray. Let's turn to the Lord and pray. Let's pray that we would take up the whole armor of God. Let's pray that we would be strengthened in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Let's pray that we would stand firm. And let's pray that we would be what we already are. So a couple of minutes to pray either by yourself or with people around you, and then I'll close in a couple of minutes. Lord Jesus, you're good, you're kind, you're a wonderful friend, a wonderful saviour, and a wonderful king. We thank you so much for everything that you have shown us about yourself during this series on Ephesians. Thank you for lifting our eyes to see just how good you are and what you have done for us is. But Lord Jesus, we confess it is so hard to follow you. And we thank you this evening that you have shown us that that's because behind the curtain lies Satan. We praise you and thank you, however, that you have won. Thank you that you have defeated Satan. And we pray now that you would, by your Holy Spirit, strengthen us with your strength. Would you help us to know just how much you love us? Would you help us to know that you are dwelling within us? We pray that you would help us to put on the belt of truth, that we might not fall for Satan's lies, but that we might hold firm to the truth that we have in you. Would you help us to take up that shield of faith? Thank you so much for your faithfulness towards us. Thank you that you keep your promises. Thank you that you have kept your promises and you will keep your promises. Help us to rest under that faithfulness that you have towards us. Would that be our shield of faith? Thank you so much as well for these shoes that you've given us, shoes that come, that are our readiness shoes that come from the gospel of peace. Thank you so much for the way that you have reconciled us to your Father and the way that you have reconciled us to each other. Would you help us to put each other first? Would you help us to walk towards each other with hearts of love rather than walking away from each other? Thank you for the helmet of salvation. Thank you for the way you've saved us and that our salvation is already secure. Help us to rest in that, to delight in that. Thank you so much for that. And we thank you as well, finally, for the Bibles that we have in our hands. Thank you that these are words of life. Thank you that they sustain us, they built us, they're building us up individually and as a church family. We thank you as well that these are not just words of gruel, but they are sweet words. Thank you that they are valuable words, precious words. Would you help us, Lord Jesus, would you help us to take up this sword of the Spirit that we might trust your goodness and the things that you say to us? pray all this, trusting in you and asking for your help. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to stand.